Gwen Stefani gets backlash for her faith, reacting to a wild message from a lady who calls herself the Good Witch, and the Catholic Church says that a discolored host is actually not a Eucharistic miracle. Let's jump in. What's up, guys? I'm Father David Michael Moses. I am a Catholic priest. If you enjoy these types of videos, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. So first off, you guys might be familiar with the Hallow app. It's a Catholic prayer and meditation app. Really, really well done. I am not sponsored by them, but I'm a big fan of the work that they do. And they've actually been able to connect with a lot of different individuals to lead these prayers in the app. They've got Father Mike Spitz on there, Sister Miriam, Jonathan Rumi. They actually, I think, just raised over $1 million for Father Mike Schmitz to build a new church for his campus ministry. And they've connected with a lot of different celebrities, and they're using their voices and their platforms to connect people with prayer in a really, really wonderful way. They just got Chris Pratt on to lead some stuff for their Lent challenge. And they also got Gwen Stefani. I don't know too much about her. When I was in high school, I do remember hearing the, "Ain't no holla back girl, ain't no holla back girl." We might need to edit that out.
Nice.
I don't really know much else about that song. But she has 17 million followers online. Huge, huge platform. And she posted about how she would be leading some prayers for the Hallow app. And the responses were interesting. A lot of it was very negative, actually, from her followers. Somebody said, "Gwen is gone. What a massive disappointment," that she was kind of emptying herself completely of her identity. She's just gone now because she's involved in prayer. Somebody said, "Remember when she was cool? I feel so old now." But other people kind of pushed back and said, "You must be new here. Gwen was actually raised Catholic," which is true, and she's been very vocal about her faith since the early 2000s. I don't know a ton about her, but I did a little bit of research, and yeah, I mean, she was raised in the Catholic Church, received her sacraments. I found this very interesting. Several years ago, when she was divorced, I don't say this to disparage her, I actually say this to commend her. When she was divorced, she actually got an annulment, which in the Catholic Church is not just a Catholic divorce. It's not saying you were married and now you're not married, it didn't work out. What an annulment is saying is that you were actually never married, that the foundation of marriage is that it was two people freely giving themselves and freely choosing the other person. So if there's an annulment, that is saying that one of those components wasn't present. So even though the people might have thought they were entering into a marriage, there really wasn't a valid marriage because what was necessary for a marriage was missing in some way. But that's kind of a difficult process. It takes some time. It takes some effort. So there's something really good about Gwen actually going through that process, submitting her life to the authority of the church, the God-given authority of the church, submitting her marriage to that, and then receiving what the church said. The church actually granted her an annulment so that she could get married to, is it Blake Shelton, I think? And so she's married to him now, and they actually got married through the Catholic Church. So she does seem to be taking her faith very, very seriously. I commend her for that, but maybe just hasn't been as vocal about it in the public sphere as she was. Someone wrote an article about it, and they said, you know, there's something good about being in the season of Lent where Jesus in the scriptures loses a lot of his fan base because of what he is doing and saying. And so maybe there's something fitting about Gwen kind of having a sort of a reckoning with her fan base during this season of Lent because of her being outspoken about her faith. Why am I talking about this? I think it's significant to recognize when people are using their resources properly for the kingdom. The church has a great history, when we look at the lives of the saints, of them using whatever they have for God. So even look at some of the saints. Some of the saints were very, very wealthy, actually. We had saints who were kings of countries who used their status and their means to further the gospel. Just a couple weeks ago, we had the Feast of St. Catherine Drexel, and she was an heiress to a very, very wealthy family. She inherited $7 million, which if you adjust for the inflation nowadays, would be like $200 million in today's money. That's how much money she had. And she, instead of using that for herself, just to live a life of luxury and freedom in society, she instead decided to use that to start a religious community to care for the poor and the neglected and the marginalized. So in the same way, I think there's something valuable about a celebrity using the influence they have for the kingdom. I mean, she's got 7 million followers, I think, just on Instagram alone, a huge, huge platform, which can be leveraged for good or for evil. And many celebrities, sadly, are leveraging it for evil, for themselves, for their own worldly gain. And I think it's cool that she's using the influence that she has for something positive. And that's, I think, an example for all of us to use whatever we have for God. At the end of the day, celebrities are not always going to be our models for behavior, but I do think that they can be mirrors of the culture. That in many ways, what's happening on the celebrity level, I think, is kind of an indicator of the pulse of the society. And right now, when you see some of these celebrities, Chris Pratt, Mark Wahlberg, Gwen Stefani, using their platforms for prayer, it doesn't mean that everything's perfect about every moral aspect of their lives. I don't really know much morally about these people, but I can affirm that the use of the platform for the kingdom is in itself a really, really good thing. And so I hope to see more of that. I hope to see more of that from people. And again, from all of us, to say, what resources do I have? What influence do I have? And how can I leverage that for something positive to bring souls to Christ? So yeah, kudos to her on this. And hopefully she's not discouraged by some of the negative responses. So next up, I wanted to visit with you guys about this video I saw pop up. And it seemed to have a very, very strong reaction. So I thought it was worth touching on. It's from an account, this lady, I've never seen her before, but she calls herself the Good Witch, which is very concerning because to be a witch is not a good thing. So there's a manipulation there. And I also think even to call yourself the Good Witch, I think is to imply that you wouldn't expect the witch to be good, right? That there is an expectation when you hear the word witch that there's something negative there that she needs to reframe, but that doesn't change the reality that witchcraft itself is bad and dark and really, really dangerous, and in some cases even demonic. So let's take a look at this video that she posted. I've got some comments.
Do you know what the real difference is between all of these? Nothing.
Okay, there's a lot more to get to, but just to stop her right there, puts up some religious symbols and said there's no difference between all of these. That's just not true.
False.
A very basic example. Buddha was one of the images up there. And Buddha offered some advice on how to live a certain kind of peaceful kind of life. But Buddha kind of said, the way I've heard described is Buddha said, oh, this is the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus did not say, I am a way, a truth, a life. Jesus is very, very different from every single one of these icons that we see here. And when you look at the life of Jesus, he is not simply purporting, oh, this is just one of many paths. He says the path to life is a narrow one. It does matter who we follow and who we believe. So this premise is off, but listen to what she says. It gets a little bit crazier.
And let me tell you why. All major religions and spiritual paths are saying the same thing at the core.
No, they're not. They're saying such different things. There are huge differences among major religions. But let's get to what she's saying here.
Deep down, we all come from the same source. We're all connected. Whether you call it God, Yahweh, Allah, Jah, Thou, or the universe, it doesn't matter. What does matter? Love, peace, justice, and kindness. Now that's the real truth. Prophets throughout history figured this out and tried to spread the message. Since they lived in different times and in different places, they used different words, symbols, and metaphors to explain it. The problem? People took those symbols literally. People got caught up in the differences and started dividing instead of uniting.
So I'm all for finding common ground among people. I have very good friends of various different religious denominations, even non-Christian friends. There is a goodness to that. But to say every major religion just boils down to love is extremely problematic, because notice she says love, kindness, justice, says all these virtues without a definition. This is in so many ways like the modern religion, the modern gospel, is to carve out all of these religious ideals, then cut them off from religion and not define them. So, okay, if she says every religion is just about love, okay, What's love? No definition of love here. And really very little definition of love in the culture. And that's a very popular idea to give a virtue without a definition. This has 500,000 likes, millions and millions of views, tons of comments being saying, oh, I love this. This is so good. This is so true. I learned so much from this. Why is this so appealing to people? Because when you just say you need to love without a definition, then love can mean whatever I want. Because some of these religious icons for these faiths, pretty demanding. Like to follow Christ is a demanding way of life. Jesus asks a lot of you. If you want to be like him, if you want to inherit eternal life, there's a lot being asked of you in response to his call. It is so convenient to say, no difference, throw out the religion, just love, and the love can be whatever I want it to be. So I've just made my own religion. You know, it's maybe significant that the Chosen season 5 just came out. I watched the premiere, and one of the scenes was Jesus flipping the tables in the temple. Jesus doesn't go into the temple and say, hey guys, get rid of religion. It's just about loving each other and being kind and justice and mercy. He doesn't just say these things. He obviously expects that there is a right and a wrong that is lived out in a very practical, tangible way. And that when things are not as they should be, they need to be corrected. And Jesus comes in the temple area to correct them. Very, very different than what the image that this lady is painting here. I can actually give you a definition of love that the culture doesn't give. Love is willing the good of the other. Love is wanting what is good for that person. The presupposition is that there is something good for someone and something bad for someone, that there is some kind of objective truth here, I would say as revealed by God, for what is good for humanity. And so love for us is to want that good as given to you by God, want that good for someone. And that might mean challenge. That might mean difficult conversations. That might be uncomfortable realities, but that is willing the good of the other. Willing the good of yourself, wanting what is good for you, even if it's often very, very hard for you. But the culture doesn't give you a definition of love. Why is that? Because ultimately, they want to tell you what it means. They want to get rid of all the definitions that past religions have given. And they want to say, oh, but love is so good. This is what all the religions, this is the main point of all the religions, is just to love. And then we're going to sneak in what love should mean for you. Which in modern society, love often in practice looks like, if you love me, don't tell me what to do. That's what it ends up looking like. If you love me, don't challenge me. If you love me, don't try to influence me. You do you, I do me, if you love me. And even more like it's, if you love me, you can't say anything that makes me uncomfortable. That's what it often turns into. You can't talk about what marriage actually is. You can't talk about what a baby actually is, what a man actually is, what a woman actually is, because that might make me feel uncomfortable. So if you use that stuff, hate speech, you don't love me. That's what the society is doing. It's maybe too far at this point to say you don't even need to love people. So they keep the word love, but they cull out any real definition and they instead fill it with what they want. It's a means of control. I mean, this kind of stuff is a means of control. And you're about to see even why, even more clearly why that is at the very end. Check this out.
At the end of the day, all religions are pointing to the same truth. So stop fighting over the details and live the message. Love, unity, and respect for all. You can trust me. I'm a good witch.
There it is. She starts the video off by showing you these world religions, these leaders, and saying, they all say the same thing. You don't really need them. All you need is love. Then she doesn't define what love is, but at the very end, she says, you know, you can't trust all these religions. Who can you trust? Trust me. I'm the good witch. She tells you, you don't need a leader. You should let her be the leader. You don't really need to trust somebody else's voice or authority. Just follow me and you'll be fine. You see this so often with the culture is they get rid of authority, not actually to free you. They get rid of authority so that they can become your authority. And what happens is it often takes shape in the name of freedom. Oh, you know, people watching this video, I think, feel like, oh, I'm free from the restrictions and the bondages of religion and all this oppressive belief and all that stuff, when really they're just being influenced by her. And as a Catholic priest, I have no problem saying, oh, no, you need authority in your life. Absolutely. I'm a priest. I have authority. And I'm subject to authority. We all need authority in our life, but we need to be very discerning about who that authority is. Do you want it to be somebody on Instagram, or do you want it to be somebody who's part of the church that Jesus Christ founded at the end of the day? So I would be very, very wary of this. Don't get rid of all religion, because then you just turn into creating your own religion. And you think you're not subject by anything, but you're actually more constrained than you've ever been, because it's not centered on truth anymore. So this kind of stuff is very, very dangerous, but I'm glad she gave me a reason to talk about these different things. The last thing I wanted to talk about is a story coming out of Indianapolis. The Archdiocese had actually started an investigation into a Eucharistic miracle that they thought might have occurred at a church there, St. Anthony of Padua. If you haven't watched some of the previous videos, a Eucharistic miracle is basically saying that at the Mass, we always believe that the bread and wine change into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But in some cases, it's not just what they are that changes, but what they look and taste like change as well. So typically at a Mass, even though it really is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, it still looks like bread, tastes like bread, looks like wine, tastes like wine. It's transubstantiation, the substance changes. It's not transformed, where the other attributes change as well. But sometimes the actual attributes, what the host looks like and tastes like, changes as well. So it actually starts to look and taste like flesh, or you can see blood visibly present on the host, those kinds of things. So they started launching an investigation into this because somebody had seen a host that fell on the ground, which sadly can happen sometimes if we're not careful how we receive it. And so they put one of these hosts into a little container of water. Sometimes they do that to let the host dissolve. And then they'll pour the water down the sacrarium, which is a safe space that goes into the ground. But when the sacristan came back to look at the host later, they saw what appeared to be spots of blood, like red spots, splotches on the host. So they and they even thought there was like a thin piece of skin as well. So they lost a whole investigation into this. Somebody actually posted a picture on Facebook they think was connected to this incident, which we can put up on the screen. But the church went back, they've been investigating, and they said the event had a natural cause and not a supernatural cause. So there wasn't something miraculous. They said the red discoloration reported on the host was a common bacteria found on all humans. And there was no presence of human blood at all that was discovered. The host was sent off for testing, and it was discovered that the host actually came from a priest's Mass kit. So when we travel, sometimes we take a small little kit with everything that we would need for Mass with us, a little chalice, a little paten, some host, a little bit of wine, that kind of thing, so we can still say Mass wherever we are. And I can actually see how this could happen, because maybe you come back from a trip and you forgot there was a host, to be clear, not consecrated. You know, the host, maybe you had more hosts than you needed for that Mass. And so you just put it in there. It just bred at that point. So there's nothing, you know, unreverent about that. Nothing irreverent about that. But I could see coming back from a trip and forgetting about the Mass kit, and it actually start to grow some kind of mold or bacteria on it. Somehow that making it making its way to the church, somebody seeing that and assuming it's some kind of blood. So they actually, the results found three types of fungus, of three different species of bacteria that are often found on human hands, which presumably is where it came from. So it was not a Eucharistic miracle. It was just some bacteria on the host. Why am I highlighting this? Well, I think it's important to call out when it's not actually a Eucharistic miracle, to preserve when it actually is a Eucharistic miracle. In other words, the church has made clear through this report, they're not trying to fake Eucharistic miracles. If the church was trying to scam people, this would be a perfect way to do it. A lot of people already believed it was a Eucharistic miracle. Someone could have just taken it and said, oh my gosh, it looks like blood. Oh, it is blood. And the church could have just moved forward and pretended like it was actually a miracle. The church didn't. The church is not actually interested in faking stuff. We have 107 real Eucharistic miracles that were tested, where there actually were miraculous supernatural things happening. We don't need fake ones. We have plenty of real stuff. So I think this really speaks to the rigor with which the church goes about testing these kind of things. And the church isn't afraid to say, like, no, it's not actually real. In the same way, for me as a priest, I'm not interested in faking healings for people, because I've seen very real healings from people. The church isn't interested in faking Marian apparitions, places where Mary's appeared, because we have very real instances of that. And so for us to not be very careful about vetting the things that are not authentic would very much discount those things that are authentic. So I think it's important to highlight this kind of stuff. Those are the things I have for you guys today. Y'all seem to like this longer format in the previous video. So hopefully we'll keep it going. Let me know what you guys think about any of this stuff. And comment other stuff you think maybe I should comment on for future videos. If you're interested in other videos, you can check out this one right here. And we'll see you guys next time. God bless.